Sunday, February 16th, Toronto to Manhattan, and it's Matt talking to Bob. So I wanted to ask you talk a little bit about the protest and how it fits into the grand scheme of things. Who put it on, who's driving force, what difference it may or may not have made, what a collective mind reaction like that represents nowadays. If you had any thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, I like the photo you posted on Cloak and Dagger, a Toronto sign that said 22 something.
Did you? But I put that up there because of you, and in the forum, if you noticed, I put a link to that picture under the heading Bob at the protest, ?
Right. Well, if I was in Toronto, which I wasn't, my physical body wasn't, I would have to use the number 22 because that's 2-run-2. That is Toronto's number, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would use 14 in New York. But the, what was the sign, 1 in 22?
1 in 2, 22 human deaths are caused by humans.
Yeah, 1 of 22 deaths are caused by humans.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay, so when you look at the millions of people that protested, you're looking at it through the TV screen, but you have to be aware that each one of those protesters has 5 bodies. So you judge the event through the 5 bodies that each one has and the 5 bodies of the recipients of the information. Okay?
Okay.
So within the TV body, the demonstrations were a mistake because that's the screen body and that just adds energy to the challenge that the war makers have put down to people, and that creates content for the TV body. So that creates more energy towards making war. So from the TV body level, the demonstrations were a big mistake. From the chip body level, demonstrations were demonstrating against themselves. The demonstrators were demonstrating against themselves, so it was a mistake to point the finger at anybody else, because just as in the TV screen you make, if you use and respond to the data and news in the TV medium, you help give it energy and content, which is necessary. You respond to the challenge thrown down by the initiator of the original program you're protesting against. In the chip body, what's interesting there is that is totally fused, but it also allows a detachment device. So the interplay between the voluntary ESP and the cloned ESP in the chip body leads to one thing, and the voluntary ESP is reacting to that. So the protesters should have had signs saying, we protest the fact we are guilty of the war.
Right.
We are causing this war. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's different from the TV screen body is still like a medium that reflects cloned ESP. It is a oneness situation, but it's still within the Android meme. The chip body allows you to have a bit of detachment from the Android meme. That detachment creates the ability of single entities like George Bush or Bin Laden or anybody to be a Rumpelstiltskin and control the TV body to spin it. So since we're all subject to the chip body advantage, then we are causing that, just as this war is a battle between Bush and Saddam, supposedly. Two people. That represents the chip body, the detached part, the volunteer ESP part of the chip body, picking on its mirror image. And that ability to hijack the TV body by the chip body is what is another factor causing the war. So we are guilty of that. But we wouldn't blame, we wouldn't react to the images in the TV screen body. For example, the protesters are feeding the war by protesting Bush or whoever they blame the war on, or big oil and things like that. In the chip body, we have to blame ourselves, since we have the detachment through the chip mechanism to create that autonomy that can't be controlled by the ESP, which leads to renegade Rumpelstiltskins what they call the rogue state or a rogue element in the CIA. That is a product of the voluntary ESP that can detach from the cloned ESP. Think of cloned ESP as more the TV body, voluntary ESP as a major characteristic of the chip body. So the protesters, of course, unaware of all these bodies, but if they would have, if I'd been there, I would have put up signs blaming myself, protesting against myself as a Rumpelstiltskin effect of the chip body, all right?
Right.
Now, the astral body, which is the first nature zone, you mean you've got the neuron body, which is the Western version of the first nature experience we have. The astral body is the invisible spiritual dimension of the first nature reality. The TV body is a simulation of the neuron body. It's the visible body, but it's made by humans, so it's second nature. And the chip body is also within the second nature, and it's a reflection of the astral body. Astral body being a first nature, the invisible spiritual part. So the chip body is the spiritual part of the second nature, which consists of TV body and chip body. Dealing with the first two bodies, which these protesters have, the astral body would have been thrilled by the cohesive meme and mind form and emotion form that was radiated among the first nature. Human bodies trying to look harmonious or purposeful and with a higher purpose of peace, and that affects the astral body reinforces the astral body's continuing effect on us. The neuron body, following what I'm saying, have you got an idea what the neuron body is responsible for in this demonstration?
Well, not taking a parallel from the clone DSP, I could picture the physical body, you know, not caring. Like it's a nice walk in the park.
Right. And so I read an article from The Guardian late last night about how millions came to the London protest, and they just kept coming all day. And some of the people interviewed were saying, I know nothing about politics. I just know there's something funny going on, and I just want to get out here and participate. So they had no sophistication on the details, which is okay, because why should you be informed on the TV body issue? Because if you're informed, you're just feeding the mechanism. So it's better to be uninformed. But the emphasis on stressing the role of the physical body seemed to be a motive of a lot of the protesters. And the article went on about how the anarchists and the socialists and the particular people had political angles. They were just stunned and not expecting so many people to come out, and they kind of just fell off to the sideline and saw that something bigger than them was happening, bigger than their agenda. And they were kind of puzzled and bewildered and happy too, but puzzled. So the thing is that as the TV body and the chip body become tinier and miniaturized, they do allow the physical body, the neuron body, and the astral body to have human scale again. So we have the shrinking, the services of the android meme propping up and retrieving the AP, which is more or less the first nature. Retrieving that, we had a demonstration supposedly that outnumbered anything that ever happened in history or before, known history. You know, millions of people all around the world. So it was a good day for the AP body. Now that's made up of the for the AP, I'll say. That's made up of the
right
astral body and the neuron body. And the neuron body is just what medicine says our bodies are, the hegemonic position of modern chemistry and biology. They say our physical body is made up of these things that I would call the neuron body. But the whole body that we are, which is the mystery body, is a level that includes the four bodies, plus itself, which is the synergistic effect of all of them. On that level, it's hard to tell what's happening, and usually you have to come to me to find out how I did on the day to see how the mystery body, the total effect, is happening. Now, were you going to say something before I go on?
Oh, yeah, just before we do the mystery body.
I detected in your tone about people out for a walk in the park.
Well, that would be the physical body, yeah.
That's the neuron physical body. You detected that in the participants.
No, I think they were masking. They were all trying to do or be something else. The young
people.
Were
using their other bodies, not unaware, but they were aware of other jobs to be done.
Yeah, yeah. I'd say the young people, what looked like students, were they wanted to dance and bang drums and sing.
Right.
So they were really kinetically active. They were using their physical body a lot.
Right, and maybe not having. They might have a few signs, but they weren't into flashing signs at the TV screen body.
Yeah, they were probably trying, but they were aloof signs, like catchphrases. And
their main activity was enjoying their physical body.
Singing and dancing and hitting drums, yeah.
Right.
But what I was going to say, so then the AP...
But the older people? And then
the older people
type?
Marched very passively.
Right.
They commented on the crowd. They read the signs aloud, the other people's signs aloud, and commented amongst themselves. Because I think most people were not shocked at all, but the most interesting thing was the diversity of signs.
Right.
I mean, there are people on about SUVs, people about...
all the different agendas.
It's just across the entire spectrum, and in multi-languages, too. A lot of the signs were in other languages.
These memes...
The Turkish Communist Party, the Turkish Marxist Party of Toronto, and they had a big banner and a bunch of people with a microphone, and, you know, so all those different, really diverse agendas.
Right,
but,
and they're all memes, micro-memes communicating.
But the AP would feel good, let's see if this is correct, because all of those other identities worldwide, which don't communicate well on the other levels... now have a connectivity. Hey, they were doing the same thing we were. And I don't know them, I don't speak their language, they're different than me, but on the AP level, even though they see themselves differently, there's a connectivity there.
You mean in Esperanto, a common language?
Yeah, exactly.
Right, well, that is... Okay, they're
that
only...
That would please the AP.
Well, okay, just hold that thought, because first of all, the AP can know all that thanks to the TV body and the chip body, which tells them all these other people... rather instantly are doing the same thing, right?
Yes.
And that begins with the telegraph, the ESP, the cloned ESP TV body. I mean, people knew pretty quickly what was happening 100 years ago. So you got that. It's the detachment from the TV body that the chip body creates that leads to the problem we have today, where a war is being done in the name of something that doesn't seem to be connected to the TV body. That's why CNN is so anti-Bush. Doesn't seem to be connected to the ass body. And doesn't seem to be connected to physical body purposes. It's on its own world. And that's why the AP body says this is a purposeless war. You know what I mean? There's no meaning.
Okay, so we could call it a chip body war,
or not a war for the chip body,
but it's happening on that sensory level.
Yeah. Now here's the irony is that the chip body allowed us to detach within the communicatory medium, but as the chip body shrinks, as I've emphasized before on the Cloak and Dagger shows. As it shrinks, the AP comes back, right? So the image of a guy in a cave, cut off from the world, could interrupt and kill the android meme, which is both the clone body and the clone ESP and the voluntary ESP, bombing New York, shows that the AP has gone around the Matrix, thanks to the Matrix making itself being real user-friendly and getting smaller and smaller. So the AP... is what is one of the effects of the chip body, all right, as it holopathizes and gets tinier. So we had the AP body, that we'll call it the physical body, which is the AP body, hijacking the chip body and TV body reality and expressing themselves physically and in unity. The thing is that they need to be aware that once the technology is turned off, then the AP doesn't have a means to connect. That's why the AP is intertwined with the AM body. That's why my formula is AP/AM. They're very intertwined. The final seduction is the AM is going to gradually disappear and make it seem that the AP body is running the show. So the inklings of that has been happening through the 90s, and it was peaked with September 11th, where the AP body... So. It also shows why the people walk so passively, because they know the physical body part of themselves, the neuron body, is kind of forced to be on the sidelines, can't really influence the TV or chip body. it can make a statement through the shrinking of the chip body, but overall, in general, big environmental dynamics, the chip body, the physical body, has to sit on the sidelines, and the war is going to happen anyways. So there's kind of an interesting resignation. It's sort of like if you have a World Series in Toronto and the Blue Jays win, and then all the people who didn't go to the game, didn't watch it, and were doing their activities through the day in their stores and businesses and at home and all that, if they decided to, at the end of the game, walk around the Sky Dome, do a big demonstration of themselves around the Sky Dome, passively, not really interacting with the cause of the celebration, which would be going on inside of the World Series victory. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're not involved. And so that's, and so there are a lot of people who are, well, most of humanity, most of the physical body has been put on the sidelines, as Croker spells out in his book. It's called surplus flesh. So a lot of surplus flesh came out and was protesting beyond the TV body's concerns, the chip body's concerns, and the astral body's concerns.
The,
so that's an interesting situation we got here.
But the AP would be the most sympathetic to the fact that other people will die.
Right. It identifies
their,
with that.
Identifies with that.
Yeah, it's not that the AP is saintly or concerned. It's just that its basic concerns, sex, food, and death, causes a reaction when they see it around them. They might run away from it. They might try to help. But they definitely identify with the physical body going through a war spasm.
Because Ralph Schoenman was very technical and historical the first few times he was on the radio show.
Yeah.
And the last few times he's been on, his emphasis has been on the genocide of Iraq and
the AP level.
Yeah, he uses the expression bomb what? Right? Bombing peasants, poor people,
yes.
Sick people. Like it's disgusting. So and I think from a, you know, credited researcher like him, I identify with that angle.
Right, because as the AM and AM gets tiny and tiny and props up the AP's mobility, its autonomy, you got this situation where the old 19th century war machine is trying to have a war, but they're up against the TV body, the chip body, which they're part of, and the renewed effect of the shrinking AM, which makes the AP body look around, and it's very hard for them to defend killing the AP body.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible. It doesn't seem to have any reason. But the problem is that these AP bodies, these neuron bodies, have helped create these other bodies, and these other bodies must have a life of their own. It's like, you know, when the day starts, the rivers run, the trees grow, the leaves fall, the animals run about. You know, there's a whole natural environment that goes on living. So we have these bodies that go on living. And we're not communicating very effectively if we're only protesting within one of the bodies, about one of the other bodies. We should be talking about all the bodies because we're responsible for them all. And the we that's saying that, when I say we, is the mystery body, which is the whole thing.
But
it's very hard to measure the total
body. But the mystery body would have nothing, no...
I didn't hear the first word.
So the mystery body would have no collective action that would satisfy all the other bodies, though. Or is there?
Ah, now that's what's interesting is that as the technology in second nature shrinks, then it's because it's able to merge with first nature, and that's the meaning of the satellite, as I lay out an up the orbic anti, that merger where the first and second natures are indistinguishable, that happens more and more under chip conditions, and eventually when we get cold fusion, it'll be even implemented. The mystery body is a total of that merger, the total effect. We don't know what's happening on the mystery body level. We've never known. Maybe we get better means to map it, but no culture's known the whole body. And if you think of the total effect, then that might, some cultures would call that God. That's what they mean by God, is something bigger than all of us. So the mystery body is something that has been a frightening image for a lot of culture for most of history. But now the meaning of my chart is that as the AP is retrieved and given more friendly environment to be mobile in many ways, we then begin to retrieve old images of the AP. And that's the tribalism that Bush and Saddam and Bin Laden represent. But actually, the mystery body is more than tribal, has never had a chance to be post-tribal, so that the effect of this first four bodies is creating a new AP, which would be a way of talking about the total effects of the mystery body.
Yeah, well, I could grasp the mystery body as AP2 or post-tribal AP or something like that. Like
the mystery body was always there, right? It always was there, and every culture tried to define it, and they usually, the tools they used to draw out and measure their body often created the image that they had of their body. And that's what McLuhan meant by medium is the message. But as we get into this new thing where the medium and the culture are the same thing and the images people have of them the same thing, and then you get to the chip body level where we don't even need to respond to collective or personal images, we are creating a situation which makes us see what was in the mystery body, what the limitations were in our attempt to map the mystery body. We're becoming more aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that leads to a need for a new contract with the idea of God. I'm talking about the secular human expression of God. We don't know what God is, ultimately, where it is, where what it is, whatever the totality or whatever God is, whatever the unnameable, that part, which is pretty hard to figure out. I mean, I've talked to the astral plane. They don't even know what God is. But in terms of this world, the mystery body is the total reality we live in, which would include God. But since the mystery body is being seen in a new way now, then our images of the AP have to be changed. And one of the projections of the AP is the culture's definition of what God is. So we've got a real battle over what God is, and we're going to have to reshape our image of God because it's a totally new situation. As McLuhan says at the end of Take Today, some will see this as divine or supernatural, and he puts it in quote, this new image. But we definitely aren't going to be able to use the old images. The problem is those that favor the old images will resist that.
But
and that's the basic dynamic in the world, is the retrieval of tribalism against the new hidden ground present of autonomous individuality.
But so many of the seers of known history were accurate in predicting what they describe as the apocalypse, as the death of
humanity.
That old mystery body, that this is the end of a certain phase, it's the end of a calendar, end of like a season.
Okay, and yeah, definitely, if people projected an apocalypse or some kind of massive transformation of the physical,
mm-hmm.
and they would project their own neural idea of a body within that and their own idea of social scale. Remember, the five bodies have five collective parallels. The first collective parallel is NASA. The second one is the CIA. The third one is X-Files. And the fourth one is genetic engineering. And the fifth one is human scale. This is sort of, we'll call it sociology, whereas the five bodies are psychological. Though, you know, those terms are limited. But if you think of the five bodies, your personal reality, psychologically and physically, and then there's the collective, the sociological. We've got five sociological collectivities operating on people. You got the space race, which is a 19th century thing, and that's an extension of the neuron body because you're going out to this old scientific idea of space created by certain technologies in the 19th century, in the early 20th century. Then you have the TV body, which is monitoring the image that's allowed to occupy the TV body. And that's the running of intelligence agencies and the poltergeist, and we'll call that as a general icon, the CIA. Now, the astral body is a world of many effects that we can't totally measure in physical body terms. And that would be, you could say, the revelation of crop circles, of UFOs, of ghosts, all kinds of what's called paranormal phenomena. The collective expression of that is the X-Files, or the documentation of strange phenomena registered in databases. Then the chip body, the collective expression of the chip body which is what each one of us has, the collective expression would be genetic engineering, because that's the beginning of cloning and orchestrating new communities which are made up of clones, plus the cloning of societies. I mean, that's the thing that's not talked about. Coker does a good job on this, is the idea that the McDonaldization that happens in the globalization process. All the different cultures have the same Nike stores and McDonald's stores, and the basic, what they call Americanization, is just the cloning of the American meme and sending it around to different societies, right? So we've got the cloning of societies happening before the actual showing up of cloning of bodies, but those would be both extensions and possibilities of the chip body. And then the human scale is the an extension of the mystery body and it becoming more knowledgeable collectively on a human scale. So human scale happens more prominently. So you could say, if we looked at the... Now, I'm going to go on to another point, but I want to say, what did you say? Did you want to add something?
No, that was good.
Okay, because remember, the mystery body is what we can't map, all right? So... And as the AP is made possible by the shrinking of the TV and the chip body, images of the old chip body will surface. And also, since the AP is part of the mystery body, an acknowledgement more and more that the AP can't be mapped, and therefore you're beginning to perceive the mystery body. And so I think that this whole war, ever since September 11th, when they couldn't figure out who did it, why, and all the effects, there just seemed to be no purpose to it, which retrieved a lot of old AP responses like tribalism and retreating of cultures from each other, ethnic paranoia. But as we become dealing with this mystery, we end up doing big protests like this, and people are doing it with no stated reasons. They just feel that I got to participate in this. It's a mystery. Why we're having war, why I want to do this, and what is the effect of it. So what's interesting, we could call the mystery body as a recognition by the AP body, enhanced by the new technological possibilities, of the essential mystery of our situation. Therefore, people become metaphysically promiscuous. They hop from one map system, one meme system to another, which is what my chart shows, the decade dance. You know, you have friends who can dabble in the occult, they can take courses in science, university, they can be in a band, they can be a garbage man, they could have several girlfriends or boyfriends, much quadriphenia, right?
Mm-hmm.
So as we realize more and more, this is the fifth level of the chart, more and more that the AP is inadequate to describe what we really are. And it's only some people, academics, are beginning to realize that TV body and the chip body are part of our image of the AP. But they are a bit behind that's a cultural lag. They aren't seeing the mystery body total, because the mystery body would not, it would be hard to measure the mystery body, even though it includes those first four bodies.
Well, as everyone's diversifying and able to, within a quadriphenic mind,
yeah,
bring what they've learned from all their activities to each activity, it seems that anything that gets pushed to the limit leads to the mystery body. Like, you take...
That's a good phrase.
If I read...
More and more people are aware that the unknown will have an effect.
Yeah. So I read students trying to rewrite string theory and come up with their own, scientific creationist theory, and they'll create a little thing called a God particle.
Right.
Or something like that. There's this unknown, but we know it's there, and I can prove with a formula how it fits in.
Yeah, we're accepting the unknown more.
Uh-huh.
Cultures before, in the stress conditions of friction-based societies, you had to know what was going on.
Yeah, the chemist had to know.
No, but all through history.
Sure.
Any tribe, they had to know whose side anybody was, because they could be beat up and killed at any time. So as we move into a post-paranoid world, we can find what is called the unknown. We can accept and work with it more. There's a comfort with it. You know what I mean?
Right. So that would have actually led to quadriphenic lifestyle, would have led to multiculturalism, not multiculturalism leading to Quadrophenia.
Right, right. And Baudrillard makes a good point that the autonomy, the services of what I just said a minute ago, of leading to people being able to accept the unknown, then the real unknown, which they call the other, which is vicious and a principle of evil, and evil not as a cultural definition, but just a force of energy, it starts mutating and showing up, because it has to, in different forms. So so the young physicist who's writing about the God particle may have hepatitis, may have the AIDS virus, may have other viruses in him or herself that will surface later, caused by the other, the force of evil, that always is energy moving about. Asymmetrical, not connected to the good force. So Baudrillard is very good for describing that. So that's part of the mystery body, is what the hell is this force that's so negative or disruptive? Do you see what I'm saying?
Right. So that's more to reinforce, you can't blame the Rumpelstiltskins.
They're not right on that.
They're not real APs. They're just riding on.
Yeah, the
an
chip
effect.
Body. Yeah, is the, you could say the cloned ESP, which might imply unity and goodness, the evil, the disconnect from good, was the Rumpelstiltskin effect of technology, chip body, because it could run roughshod over everybody.
But then, if there's, let's say, make a statement that Bush is a Rumpelstiltskin and he is plotting out an agenda, taking advantage of the way society is structured now.
Taking advantage of the rise of the AP.
Right. So if the collective mind resisted him, that would be a fairly satisfactory answer on all levels. I mean, if it fueled the war through the TV body, then that's
right.
Unfortunate. But then overcome that in the next phase. So now we've overcome our Rumpelstiltskin by stopping his old tribal agenda.
Oh, no, he doesn't. You can't stop the chip Rumpelstiltskin effect. Just as a parent can't control their kids now once they have access to. You can't. That's the problem we got here. We've created a situation where the Rumpelstiltskin effect can be done by anybody. And that's why the war will happen, regardless. You could have 6 billion people protesting, 6 billion AP, nerve physical bodies. They will not affect the they will not stop the chip effect, which is one of their bodies that they don't, they're not very sophisticated in handling.
Okay, so it could be argued that if 6 billion people protested, there was a war anyways.
There will be a war anyways.
The retribution of those 6 billion people would just fuel the war even more.
When is the retribution? You mean the revenge after the war?
Yeah, if those people then decided to fight back and
overturn
the governments that they blamed for the war and change those economies and physically attack with terrorism or whatever other means at their disposal to fight back.
Right. Well, there will definitely be a reaction.
You could argue that if there was a war and no one cared, then only the people who got bombed would die.
Right.
But if there's a mass movement that's reflected in the TV body, shows up in the TV body, adds fuel to the content.
Right.
Then there's more likely to enhance the comeback.
The
retribution. Yeah.
Post-war gathering up the.
Post-war retribution by the people, by the 6 billion people who apparently protested, assuming that happened.
Well, that's what's going to make it really difficult, because the expression of the war happening due to the Rumpelstiltskin effect is due to environment created by the 6 billion people. Humanity created this. How are we going to stop what is us? There'll just be more chaos and more there'll be new effects, surprising. There's always going to be surprising effects from whatever Bush is doing. And you see that in the TV body commentary. Many people say, wait a minute, what happens after we take over Iraq? And nobody can deal with that. And a matter of fact, it just happened on the news today that the so-called exile government, the democratic faction of Iraqis who have been fighting against Saddam all along,
mm-hmm.
they expected to be given the country when after the war. Well, they've been put aside. It's going to be an American military government, is the proposed solution. So already there's a surprise. All those people who last year were courted by Bush and saying, yes, you guys are going to be the government, da-da-da, they've been knocked aside. At least that's what's been reported, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't know who's doing what to whom. But we don't know the facts, but what we do know is that you and I and everybody else are speeding and creating these environments. That's what we do know. We do know that I am breathing and I have these technologies I'm implementing. We do know that. We may not know what the content is and how people respond within the content.
Okay, assuming the mystery level had the ability to anticipate this. Right?
No.
The God's
okay,
plan.
Okay, that would be our collective ESP on the astral level, doing things that we do on the dreamscape. When we're dreaming at night, we're communicating among our souls and planning the next day or what's going to happen after. Yeah, there's a lot of... Remember, the mystery body is made up of all these effects and maybe others. It's made up of all the bodies, plus what we don't know. So you can't really talk about the mystery body as if what it's doing, because... By us wondering what's going to happen after the war is a way of talking about the mystery body.
Okay. Yeah.
That's expressing the mystery body, but we don't know what's going to happen after.
Right.
But we do know that we can expect the unexpected constantly. Like you know, many of the guests that we've had on Cloak and Dagger all thought there'd be Mike Rupert. They all thought things would be we'd have war and be over by now.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, I was the only one that said, no, not going to happen until next summer. But more and more people can see that now. They see that the effect of this world protest yesterday is going to make Bush hold off a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't do it next week. You know what I mean? Because he has to let the effect of this instant emotion yesterday die out. And it'll die out within a week. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There'll be too much other things going on. So I can see that, as I said, the reason... he will wait, and he'll let the Middle Eastern governments organize among themselves why they want to get rid of Saddam, since a lot of them hate them, and they hate Saddam, and a lot of them have their own insecurities if war happens, or if they're left in the lurch here. So they're going to officially support Bush, not the UN. It's going to be the Middle Eastern countries. Their area is going to give permission for Bush to come in. So it'll take a few months to do that. Now, Saudi Arabia has already turned around and said the United States can go in and use their land as basis in that. They did that at the end of December, whereas the months before that said, no way, you can't come in. But they turned around. So that's the beginning. So you can see another couple of months of negotiating this, and then about May, June, it'll be time to go. In the summer, in the heat, when you're not supposed to do it.
Right.
Okay, so what were you saying? Did I spin off? I don't know if I matched exactly.
You were
talking about the mystery
body as a level.
It was a good pause
because I'm trying to...
You're using the term mystery body as a level.
Yeah.
Do you want to go with those words?
I'm trying to choose... Well, I'm choosing my words as we go here.
Yeah.
In order to, say, create a civilization like Americana...
Which is being cloned all over the world now.
Right.
But you mean a new civilization?
No, the one that we've seen...
That we've created.
Yeah. This century's America.
Right.
Sorry, last century's America.
Yeah.
if they did that on the backs of other civilizations, which I believe they very much did.
But that's McLuhan's point. Every new environment sits on the back of all the previous environments.
Okay.
And generally ignores... some of those previous environments, retrieves others for support, and then unwittingly flips into a new environment that then sits on it. That's the tetrad in action.
That sounds like it accurately depicts...
Right. Within the American cliche, the Indians, Native Americans, were ignored, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were obsolesced by the 20th century dynamo. They would be part of the obsolesce factor.
Yeah.
Okay. What were you going to say?
But that... As the people in that civilization become aware of that being done, which I think is happening in America and has been right from the 60s.
Right.
And they also propagandized a great deal against such action, i.e. Hitler or other dictator leaders. They used their own, they used an evil depiction of their own tools to make changes in different parts of the world. So they...
The Americans did that. They would go around and say, Hitler was bad.
Say, this guy's a dictator. He goes into other countries without permission, and he does this, and he does that. Well, that's what built America.
Right, by reacting to that.
So they've already...
Reacting to that.
Yeah, so they've already taught the people of America that type of activity is bad. At the same time, that those same Americans...
The activity of reacting to Hitler and putting Hitler down is bad. Is that what you just said?
No, that's not what I meant. I meant that the Americans, or Americana, the people of Americana, perceive that type of leadership, that type of rule, as bad.
Hitler?
Yeah, Hitler,
okay.
For example. At the same time, they're likely becoming aware that America was built on similar tactics and taking advantage and genociding of other parts of the planet.
Right. And what they're becoming aware of is the disservices of an increasingly obvious old environment. But they're unaware of the new environment, the invisible post-American, the android meme, that makes them numb to seeing what other things they're doing today, but they can see what the old 19th century, American 20th century, this puny, tiny environment did. Because it's obsolete, so it's totally visible, the disservices of it, right?
Right.
But they can't see that America continues in a post-geographical, national America. It is an imploded Rumpelstiltskin node that we live in. That came out of America. Or it came out of human technology from all over the world. So the focus on America is really silly. I mean, when Nelson and Lenny are ranting on about Bush and America's going into slavery, it's ridiculous. There is no America in that way. And so that's Cloak and Dagger is just pointing out the disservices of an old environment, say 50 years ago, which at that time was invisible and doing strange things that people didn't recognize as bad because they were still looking at the year 1900.
Right. Now, that, yes. That,
so the rearview mirror syndrome, it sounds like what you're talking about.
No, I follow that, but that's why I was carefully using the word Americana.
Right. As a meme, as an old environment.
Right. And that there's Americana in every country, like the McDonald's effect, like...
That's the cloning of Americana.
Okay, so then my meaning of Americana was cloned American.
Say the first part again?
My meaning of Americana was cloned American.
Right. Now, more people can see that, the cloning of Americana, that meme, because we don't live there anymore. Where we live is within the five bodies, which means that you are a whole country, a whole nation, a whole universe, a whole solar system, a whole planet, the whole thing. You.
Mm-hmm.
So when a kid goes and is taught in school a map of the world, the map of the universe, these, you know, science courses, grade 6 or something, they're not told that this is what you are. And it's inside you, and it's tiny. They're projected as if those are worlds out there. And that's why we call the NASA space mission an old 19th century phenomenon, because the kids are being trained to go out there to this old map. And yet that whole solar system is in a shoebox now.
But okay, there comes the predicament, I guess, what I'm beating around here.
Okay,
yeah, I'm beating around the bush.
Good.
There's a million people in a region.
Beating around George Bush.
There's a million people that are going to die in a region because of the actions of the Rumpelstiltskins.
Right. But we don't know, but I guess there will be dead people. I don't know how many. You know, it might be only 50,000. They may lie, and we'll never know, because, you know, Ramsey Clark and people like that point out that the deaths and the devastation of the Gulf War I are way beyond the standard statistics.
Well, but I'm not talking about death from bombs. I'm talking about death from anything from sanctions to poisonings to the toxic materials that are left behind from a war.
Yeah, that's what's been going on the past 10 years.
To the destruction of a culture. One of the things I think about, always thought was an intriguing story, where the carrier pigeons, I think it's carrier pigeon, one of the, it's an extinct bird, I think I've got the name wrong, but it's a type of
pigeon. The dodo.
No, it's a type of pigeon, and they flew in flocks of hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
And they said they'd black out the sky 100 years ago because these flocks were so big they'd go by like large clouds.
Yeah.
So everybody took pot shots at them because you just shoot anywhere in the air and four would fall out of the sky. Now what happened is that when they became aware that they might be making this species extinct and that they wanted to replenish the population, even though the flocks were still quite large, it was too late because the species required an even larger flock.
Wow.
For its that's how it worked.
They've been,
so there's
even
still
though there
tons
seemed to be
of,
a lot, you
yeah.
killed enough and you hadn't seen the critical
right.
mass of the sieve and they couldn't recover.
There's still tons of them up there, but they're finished.
Right.
Right? And I think of that story when you go and heavily meddle in another culture.
Right.
And I see that with the Native American cultures, is that they didn't need to actually shoot many of them. They just needed to change the way they do life so that their culture can't be sustained anymore. And then that led to things like alcohol addiction and other,
well,
you know,
you're pleading for the AP here.
That's right.
You know, and the AP is only one of our bodies. The amazing thing is that there are no Iraqis, in actual fact. There are no Americans, because we all live in the new cloned ESP, involuntary ESP nude. No, we all live there. That's where we are.
If I had a strong enough faith in some type of soul or reincarnation or a second level or other interdimensional existence, then I might be more willing to accept the large-scale death of the AP.
Yeah, I'm not saying.
But
I'm not saying it's death. I'm saying it's only one fifth of the situation.
No. But the dying of the AP kills all those other bodies in that individual who is a universe and a planet like you're describing.
Oh, you yeah.
So it's a great loss.
If you kill the AP, you don't kill the chip and TV body. That's the, you know, when Mark Stallman goes on about the machines are running the show, they have
no,
a life of their
you,
own.
You kill, yes, I understand that, but you kill the little universe and the planet that one person is all by themselves.
Yes, but they go off to the astral body.
Well, that's what I said, is if I had a greater
yeah.
faith in that, then I'd be able to accept the
well, it says, even if
rapid
you had
change
faith,
on Earth.
Even if you had the faith that they survived death, that still doesn't deal with the problem because we're here, and the astral body has to reincarnate back here to deal with the ongoing problem here. And the thing that's here is language, and language is all the technologies humans make. And we made TV body and chip body. So before these technologies existed, human souls would die, reincarnate, and continue interacting with the ongoing evolution of language and technology. We always have to keep dealing with these clothes we put on when we reincarnate. I'm trying to deal with that world, this world, not the astral world.
Right.
I can bring in the astral information to help, depending on who I'm talking to clarify the problem. So the chip body and TV body carry on, because that's what this dimension is of those bodies, of technology for the human soul. You see? So that's why neuron body, the AP body, is sitting on the sidelines in relation to language. Because the AP image that cultures have is a product of their language and their technology.
But that leaves me with a real stumper, because if I'm relaying this information and hopefully causing a positive effect to other people, like close people in my circle or people
I
can...
I think it's unwise to consider what your effect is, negative or positive. You're having effects, but you don't know what it's going to lead to.
Fair enough.
Okay, so in regard to the effects that you want to participate in creating, now say your sentence.
Well, no, I'm gonna have to...
Okay.
To address that, because if you create effects that can be anywhere from, on a scale of 1 to 10, that can be a 1, a 5, or a 10.
I don't think you can scale them.
Or whatever, the positive, negative, neutral, unknown. If you're causing effects that are completely unknown and pushed in no particular way, then all of the combined experiences that an individual like myself has had serve no purpose, because I can have no opinion on the effect.
It has no purpose in relation to the language. but it has a purpose for your soul that dies and
okay, good. So that okay, then I said it right, because that's the quandary, is that when you're doing, if I'm going to relay this sort of stuff, then that has to, the formula must include a faith in the soul, which no one's 100% confident in.
Right.
Or shouldn't be, I don't think. Personally,
right.
I find if someone's 100% confident in that unknown, then I think they're
well, they
they're
don't
lacking.
Have to believe. The soul is what people experience even in this life. They call it conscience or a sense of ease or a sense of appropriateness. Humans have it regardless whether they die and survive death or not. That's part of the mystery of our condition here. So yes, humans need to want to feel they have a purpose, and yet they're always interacting with so much that that diffuses the purpose. Or they are determined to have a purpose and they say, I got one, regardless of what everybody else thinks is meaningless. So that's expression of purpose. You don't have to have survived death. I mean, you already got it. You already got the desire to figure it out, right?
Yeah. Let's take someone...
But remember, you figure it out in yourself. Then you, if you want to, need to, you have to communicate. Once you communicate, you're sort of moving out of the conscience, private civil conscious area, into the collective Caesar of this dimension. Why
okay, now... Okay, good. That helped, because now I can define the soul completely independent from the unknown or religion.
Yeah.
So it's easier to address that as an actuality, but it's certainly not going to satisfy, that formula is not going to satisfy any human being on the planet. They're not going to stop there. They're going to have to add something concrete to that philosophy to give it any meaning to the experiences they've already had.
Right, and that desire to do that is what cultures try to explain. It's undeniable, it's there, and I'm calling that desire, I'm kind of saying that desire is part of something that's pretty hard to figure out, and that's the mystery body. And we don't know how much we are properly living the mystery. No, that's not the way to say it. We don't know what the mystery body means. We just feel it, and that comes out in consciousness. There's no stopping the energy people express and try to modulate or adjust or evaluate. That's what the mystery body would appear to be.
One point about Tao, when you had your interview with him, I knew him for a while on many different levels and found out late that he is an ekist. And he left that out of the conversation.
What's an ekist?
It's a soul-based religion where you...
Oh, Tenkar? Ekinkar?
Ekinkar, yes.
Yeah, Paul Twitchell, I know that theme.
Yeah. He left that out, so I don't know if he intended to leave that as private, but he's public with it about me.
Right, that would be he would believe in the astral body.
It would have been helpful, I think, if he mentioned that when he talked, because I knew that and heard him speaking to you and
right.
keeping within his belief system, but it just lays some groundwork when you just meet someone.
Right, well, you've exposed them right here, so anybody hears this show and can find that out. So how
that's
would
right.
I...
I don't mind doing that. But my point is now, I haven't asked him about the death of a million souls, or the death of a million APs, how he feels about that. But I definitely know that as he experiences his soul, satisfies his soul's need for experiences on this plane now, he's able to completely detach himself from what most people would call tragedy or unfortunate circumstances, the way you described the murderer and the murderee
right.
shaking hands in heaven, saying thanks for killing me and thanks for letting me be a killer.
Right.
However...
He's intuiting on that level because he believes in life after death.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that the experience here is meant to be a varied one.
Right.
And I like the way you fit in, that once you communicate, you leave your private citadel of consciousness.
Right.
Proving there's a soul.
Right.
That proves it right there.
Yeah.
Because you don't really communicate with yourself.
Right.
You can't. You can try. You can think and dream and
but you communicate through others. You communicate through their reactions to you.
Mm-hmm.
So you is them.
Right.
On the language level.
Yes. So that I liked. However, I personally am not satisfied with that attitude.
That Tao is expressing.
No, not necessarily Tao, because I haven't confirmed how he feels about large
scale.
Okay,
define that attitude again.
Okay, no, that is how he described the attitude.
No, not his. You go, I'm not happy with that attitude. Now,
the attitude of allowing what Americans are supposed
right.
to perceive as horrific events, because it's all just a bunch of souls experiencing genocide.
Right.
It's all
no,
just a
no,
bunch
no,
of souls experiencing poisoning of the world. It's all a bunch of souls experiencing great pain and suffering. And I'm not a bleeding heart liberal. Most of my friends would think I'm very harsh and cold, just because I talk analytically, or I'll be able to, you know,
right.
Debate something on both sides of the coin at any given time, and no one can pin me down. But if we're going to talk on what Cloak and Dagger is supposed to be addressing and what those guests are all fighting for, you know, whatever their different angles are.
Yeah.
The only unifying thing is, the only thing I think that entire body of people would agree upon universally is, you know, you don't kill millions of people that needn't die.
Right. And if it happens, you know, humans will wonder, why did this happen? And actually, there's been so much tragedy through history, that's what all the ponderings are about. We wonder why this tragedy is always going on. So there's nothing new about thinking about it and being concerned about it, right?
Right. Now, the mystery body, if we could talk to it, could maybe give us an action, or give us something to satisfy all the other memes in order to affect change in the way we desire.
Right. Another word.
But...
what was the last word?
Oh, sorry. Affect things in the way we desire.
Right.
What pleases us.
Yeah,
so,
you could call the mystery body just life, or experience, or desire. The mystery body is the consciousness, the experience that humans feel. Right?
Right.
And then they try to map the boundaries and what it looks like, but it's never the whole thing. So, with that in mind, restate the question, not using the word mystery body. Use life.
Okay, then
how do we
living,
use life?
Yeah.
To understand life. Is that what you're saying?
No. How could we ask life how to stop what we perceive as tragedy?
Right. Now, we are attempting different ways to do that. Different forms of prayer, and my chart shows there's the scientific route, keep making better technology. There's the Catholic route of praying to another god, or putting your hands into some higher force. There's the mystical Zen Buddhist way, which is different from the Catholic, approaching the same problem but different. And then there's the collective Marxist idea of social action, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not relying on Buddhist indifference or Buddhist nirvana or Catholic guilt or Catholic... detachment, or on science, but people getting together and organizing and controlling their communities. Those are four memes that are approaches that are ongoing, still arguing about which one's the best way that we're seeing.
But those, in the light of a protest where we began talking, all of those things would have happened simultaneously.
Right. And remember, they're being simulated by the Android meme. The Android meme is languaging back to those memes, absorbing those memes, and adding another complexity to the situation. So that Marxists have to deal with the fact that Marxism is simulated.
Well, that's fair enough, but if there's no need for me to believe that the momentum of a protest... Now, let's say this particular protest we're talking about wasn't nearly big enough to matter. It can be forgotten. But you could have a protest, like you said, billions. You could stop the war.
You don't know, but you're inclined to put your admittedly inadequate calibration of life in to bet on that, right? That's what you're putting your bet on. Your
yes,
wagering.
Well, yeah, because there's the life is the unknown. So if you're gonna predict the future, that's you have to accept a limitation.
Right. No. So you're stating what you're betting on. So that means you're going to work more to getting all those people out to do that.
Well, no. I was actually taking this time to ask you, and we covered it. What action would best would give you the best odds in that bet?
Well, remember action. Do you mean the kinetic body?
No,
I mean
causing effects.
Well, I spent yesterday talking to a new friend for 5 hours, and I didn't know the person called. We got talking, and then it went on for 5 hours. Carolyn had gone to the demonstration. I didn't go. I had some other things I had to do, but then this call came. Now, this call was pretty significant in my relationship with this person. So I said, well, I didn't go to the protest, but I had a very interesting thing. How do I know the limitations or the advantages of what I did? Maybe that was a contribution. You know what I mean?
Right, but that would be in the realm of whether you protest or not, that was luck. I mean, you could call it synchrony or fate,
right,
or whatever, but on the realm of taking physical action, it's just luck that you stayed home and had may lead to be a very important connection later.
Right, and I think it acted out some of the problems of our time, of what's being the issues today or yesterday. So what? But you're saying what physical act?
No, I don't. I mean, what effect can you try to make? Now, maybe you're trying. You think of effects as something you can't try to make. You can just, you know.
Yeah, they're happening anyways. But I do try to do things. So I'm doing this conversation to be taped for others to hear is some of the action I'm taking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I also mean by action, not necessarily physical. Just
right. But yeah, it's communication. All action is communication. But we got a lot of communicatory new additions to what societies used to have compared to what societies used to have. But
now,
the DV body and the chip body.
Now, here's another thing I just thought of. Perhaps I'm betting that the leftovers of Americana that are inside of people, I do tend to believe in a clearing of the conscience, that if you did something bad last week, then maybe you need to apologize. You know, that's something on a small level like that.
Yeah.
But maybe if people are driving SUVs and living in the decadence of the West, or what they perceive as the decadence of the West, if they see what that was built on, they hopefully or should have some sort of a need to, you know, pay retribution.
Pay what?
Like,
just say the word, retribution?
Pay. No, it's not the right word. Pay atonement, I guess, or
right. But you said they should, or
right,
would.
But no. Well, that's why I'm saying it's a new quandary for me, because that could be the essence of why these bad things happen.
Yeah.
Because people, you could state, you know, people should do this, but they're not going to, and that also reinforces the idea that we're all guilty. It's our fault. But part of that is that, no, I would never go over there and kill people because I know it's wrong. But I also know we've been doing it, and I'm not willing to own up to what I perceive to have gained from the previous killing of other people.
Yeah, and your need for the SUV may be one of the problems of need for oil. Not yours, but in general.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the ongoing mystery and drama of life, is that we don't know what our actions do.
Okay, so
we feel it's important. They bounce back to us, and we're sensitive to that.
So we could say there's a lot of the green people or you know, people who are anti SUV and they try to live a better life and they recycle and do what they perceive as good.
They should do
right?
that with a sense of humor, which the human nature is not to, because it may not be good what they're doing. If technology's running the show, the degree that we keep eating up the planet and creating new technologies may be a plus in the long run situation. Look at all to get where we are today, you know, littered, the digital highway is littered with corpses.
Right.
If you actually stop and consider it.
Corpses of trees and corpses of rivers and corpses of people and
But people still have babies, and they think the world is better. Or they think that that can be forgotten, and that the baby will come into a newer situation.
Right. So now that's why I was going to state the quandary
like
this.
That's the light. That's the mystery.
You take a granola movement, or we have those slangs, like a granola,
right,
tree hugger, a green party person, or a bleeding heart liberal, or whatever.
Right.
Now, here's the quandary. They are when those of them who take action are taking action against what they perceive to be happening now.
Yeah.
One, they're not perceiving that properly. Two, they're too late. It's behind the times.
Right.
And one of the things Lenny said, which I'm not keen on him saying on the air because I don't think it would be understood properly, but in private conversation, I think it's accurate when he says they're protesting a war that's already happened.
And that's what he said to you privately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that I see how, on the Bob level, that's very accurate.
Yeah.
So they're taking all that action, but they're not willing to go back and pay atonement for what created them, right? Which allowed them to come out of Americana and see it as bad.
Right.
They're not going to go back. Now, the problem is, even if they could catch up to the future and try to change things now, they couldn't simultaneously pay atonement for what they did in the past. So they're stuck.
Right, but the thing is that since we don't know in this situation of communicatory confusion and apparent anarchy at all levels, who is doing something that's going to help us? So actually these people who are protesting for whatever motives they come up with may be doing something that's really going to have a collective better effect. See, we can't tell who's doing what and who's doing good. So
well, I'll tell you now, I haven't heard the show, but Art Bell, are you familiar with him?
Yeah.
Yeah. I understand from some posts and some other people emailed me. His whole thing is that the protesters are fools. They're all pawns of the UN because the UN is attacking America.
Right. They're against the One World Clone DSP, which happened a long time ago, but they have images of what the UN would do to exploit that.
But from my gut feeling of that geopolitical game, that's just nonsense. That's just feeding more crap. Like, why don't we just throw out the idea that protesting is bad because it's fun to add a conspiracy level to it, and we could never stop. Like, and it'll all what it means if the cliche of conspiracy theories is allowed to get that out of control, and maybe it already is. It leads to the spirit body, because you could just say, oh, well, the only reason this country did this was it was actually the opposite of what people thought. And then someone says, well, the only reason he said that is because he wants you to think the opposite of what really happened, and then so on, and you could just do that forever.
Right.
And that's stupid, right?
Well, I don't know if it's stupid. The thing is that...
Well, it is, because everyone's just wasting their language.
Ah, but if we're wasting our language, then that slows down the movement of genetic engineering. The stupidity in humans slows things down, which may be good, because it prevents the new environment to be implemented so quickly.
Okay, but like you talked with Adam about whether or not the child who's educated in a matrix,
right,
in a bubble,
yeah,
whether that's good or bad.
Right.
But I'm perfectly willing to accept, I won't change, but I'm willing to accept that the choices of the next civilization, or the reality of the next generations, will be their own, and won't necessarily correspond with my experience.
Right.
So I don't have a problem with that. Now I'm not exactly sure. Like I don't know if I want to hurry up genetic engineering on the scientific, physical AP level, only because it's in the hands of too few people. It's in the hands of Rumpelstiltskins.
Right.
And I think that's a concern, but. If, in the long run, that becomes a norm, hopefully we don't leave too many skeletons in the closet now. That's why you could resist genetic engineering now, but not be against it in general.
Right.
Right? So, yeah. And at the same time, with the Matrix cloning, the actual cloning of the individualistic cloning of the ESP.
Right.
By putting someone in a Matrix, that could work in the future.
Right. What's interesting is, you know, when you're sitting with someone... having a coffee or something, In the momentary communication, certain facial expressions they make would delight you, others would bug you. And depending on how the encounter went, it might lead to an annoyance, or it might lead to a happy feeling. The annoyance factor is what you're talking about, because you're having your encounter in the coffee, then the person is going to go away for a week, then come back, and then they're going to work with you at some job you have.
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't be remembering the little momentary annoyances, right?
Mm-hmm.
So genetic engineering is inevitable. It's going to happen. What you're expressing now is your temporary annoyances with how it's being handled right today or in the year 2003.
Right.
Which is like responding to someone's bad breath, and it's annoying at that point. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that sounds accurate. I can feel that to be
right.
Correct.
Now, we have a certain level of leisure and wealth in America that we can sit around and exaggerate our annoyances. And if you go back and listen to tape recordings of whatever people said in the mid-60s arguing over the annoyances then, none of what they're talking about, none of their objections had any effect of what unfolded.
I don't know if I've, because you don't listen to the show as much at all anymore.
I don't listen to it.
I've always stolen, I think I did maybe mention this to you, I steal a line from Sunday's morning session for the show.
Yeah,
so
you told me that.
I think that's what I'm going to use.
What I just said?
Is everybody gets to exaggerate their
annoyances. Their annoyances of having coffee.
No, but anybody, a caller calls in and they just feel like having a different whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I said, you're just exaggerating annoyances. Like, don't, you're being ridiculous. You know.
Right, but here's what I add to it. You two people are interacting and they're having little annoyances and little pleasures. Now imagine, you know, Matt and Tao are talking and having coffee. Those annoyances are immediately, every little annoyances, we have a meter in your brains and we register it. We immediately make a movie out of it. We have a talk show on the annoyance. We put out magazine articles. We maybe wipe out a culture and have a war over some annoyances. Every little action is being translated into all these other amazing communication linguistic devices immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Think of that.
Yeah.
And that's like Finnegan's Wake. One action, one gesture, he translates through all history and all through all media. And that's what
our situation is. Yeah, because I've heard you say that you could be in a bar having a conversation with someone and say, for example, do more to stop the war, talking to that one person.
And
that moment, than going on CNN or starting an organization or joining, enlisting in the Army or anything.
It could be, because we're so intertwined now. We're all little homeopathic holograms that, yes, we don't know who the butterfly is. Therefore, you have to accept whatever's going on. You accept all the activities. So Art Bell, he gets on there and he's ramping on about worrying about the global order. That's an interesting meme. It has a life. If I can be annoyed by it, make a big deal out of it, or I can ignore it. And even if he doesn't want to be, he's dedicated to the meme, like Rush Limbaugh, dedicated to his meme, and he doesn't care. He's never going to take any criticism. He's never going to change. He's going to keep doing it. Where was I going to go with that? If he is doing that, we can't judge what the effects of it are, but we have an opportunity to translate it into many media, ignore those media, and in that sense, he does not exist. I'm not sure if I got to where I was going. I had a nice little idea in the middle of my paragraph 28 seconds ago, and I lost it. But I think I did. So we may come back to it. I don't know what the hell. The magnification. You see, this is why the world has no content. Oh, let's say this. That's why our language has no content, because it's being translated. Not only is your conversation with Tao being magnified in all these different media, a million other conversations are being magnified.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, you can't tell who's doing what. That really leads to a problem for speech as an old medium, which is like the AP medium, speech. Books are not speech, you know. Movies aren't. These are massive things that come later.
Okay, well, here's... I am on the radio. That's a situation. I'm finding pleasure in it, so I intend to keep doing it.
But it's a tiny, and it's an immeasurable activity.
Fine, and I'm not trying to turn it into anything great because it's a little one day of the week thing, and because you're on the radio, I guess some people perceive that as a big deal, but it's nothing, and that's fine. My only recurring theme, I can tell because I grab clips, like good clips from the show.
Yeah.
And my little recurring theme is be willing to absorb a new idea and live with it and see if it changes you. Right? That's the only thing I've been able to come up with so far that seems consistent with all the other things, because I don't take a stance on anything. If anyone's listened to the show, they'd think I believe in whatever the guest is saying completely, because I don't.
Right, but you just said you are taking some particular notion
that's
going to remain dedicated for a while.
That's what I've noticed. No, well, it wasn't on purpose. I've just noticed that it's there now.
I keep
repeating that notion.
Oh, that there is a meme you have.
Yeah, I've repeated that notion. Whatever.
And what is that notion? State it again.
That you should be willing to absorb new ideas, live with them, and then see how they change you in the future.
Right.
Rather than, you know, to not be resistant, not to say no all the time.
Right.
Although I've never said that, but I guess that's the opposite. But anyways, I believe that there is a notion that could be developed and used as content in media that could cause desired effects.
Right. And
maybe on a puny level, it doesn't matter. It could be, ultra puny. But like you talk about the butterfly, that doesn't mean it's going to be, the effect is going to be puny.
Right. Well, the thing is that you're saying that you're going to continue living, because you just defined how we live. We all do that to create purpose.
Okay, then there's a quest in itself, which is I'm using the word notion. I kind of like that. Like you're trying to define your notions.
Right.
And if you define your notions, then if you were right, then you could make a great deal of change in the direction that you want a change to take place. You can't know if you're right, and you don't have that long here on this planet, so, you know, you don't get many shots at it. But if you could continue to define a notion, so...
That's living, too, defining
right.
a notion.
But that's why I brought up the protest and Art Bell and the show a couple times, because I think I'm trying to define my notion, a good notion, a solid notion that I, you know, can explain fairly easily. And I have a textbook in my mind of your notions.
Right.
That it's almost like you've given me a textbook for a method of giving information.
A vocabulary.
And many, many devices, and you could go in and analyze it and study it in school. Number one. And what's funny is all the negative posts that someone does to you.
Right.
Are all very accurate, what they're using them as slams, but they're very accurate depictions of that textbook.
Right.
The devices that are used to communicate a new idea.
Yeah, they are good examples proving my case, is what you mean?
I'm not even taking as far as to whether it proves whether your content is accurate, just
right.
that there's a method there, and that they're picking up on the method very accurately.
Yes.
But they're deciding, because they decide to take a negative approach, they decide to make it sound like a bad thing or whatever. Like, that's just that's point of view stuff.
Right.
But anyway, so then to create my notions, I need my textbook.
Right.
And that's why I wanted to go over, because I have some gut feelings about things like a protest. I'm perfectly willing to accept that most young people perceive like the protest is a silly little hippie thing, right?
Right.
Like it's a retrieval of an old stupid idea.
Right.
And I can see where all the different people perceive it as different things. But I do kind of feel like going up and shaking people, going, millions of people did this worldwide at the same time. And I refuse to accept that the media provoked it. I don't care. The television body did not provoke this. It might have played a part, but... disseminating a little information, but if the content's irrelevant, then that information was irrelevant, so that dispels that.
Right, well, it's not the TV provoked it. The TV body provoked it. The TV body is one of the bodies that is reacting. And
no, I agree with the reacting. I just think the a lot of people's commentary who want to slam the protests are calling it a media-driven event. The media is owned by oligarchy, and the oligarchy set us up, right?
Right.
And
now
I'm going, that's crap.
Let's examine what the word a medium is, the new technology. Or a medium can be any. It's the environment that were and are and will be. So the media drove this, but it's not the TV body media. It was the chip body media, which was creating a new power for the AP. So the AP drove this, and the AP is a medium, all right?
Yes.
So it comes down to what people mean by the media, but the AP effect of our evolutionary media drove this. That's why it was so, it was beyond political, beyond, it was beyond normal categories.
And that fits with where we began the conversation, that the AP could have been satisfied by this. It would have been a pleasurable experience.
Oh, yeah, it was an AP experience.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, and the people, the registry on the AP within its media, which is physical, first nature stuff, it had effects on it, experienced and had effects that were not measured by the TV or chip body.
Right, okay. Aha. Then I think that just gave me enough for tonight that I will emphasize that.
Right.
I will emphasize that this is not a media experience, even if most people experienced it through the media.
Right. And this is where we are in the realm, the new actual medium, Bob is pointing out, is that we're in the new AP. Now, the AP is one-fifth of the situation, but since the media is shrinking, it's retrieving our awareness of our first nature bodies and ability to move around without a lot of encumbrances. But as we do that, we realize that our images of the AP don't cover what it really is. Therefore, therefore, the mystery body is what we're becoming more aware of. Or, let's say the mystery body, meaning the totality of effects, we're becoming more able to see the immeasurability of the totality of the effects.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be another reason why the AP enjoyed the thing, because they knew that what they were experiencing could not be measured in the old chip body and the old TV body, or maybe even the astral body, right?
Right.
An awareness of communicating. We could say the meaning of this event was people saying, we're going to communicate in this form, and the public, the other body's measurement calibrations of that will be irrelevant. And we don't know what it'll lead to, but we're going to do it.
Right. Okay, good. Well, I got to wrap up because it's after 4.
All right. So it was it's the beginning of the new AP. Becoming aware of how to use the other bodies, and even including the totality effect, which we call the mystery body. So the humans are becoming godlike, and God is going to have to change due to this.